Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
Special Congress. We're time for an update. John, the news front of this yesterday came through that Croke Park, the corridors of power may be empty, as we learned from the president yesterday in his interview with Owen Sheehan, but they are putting their weight behind, somewhat of their weight behind, Proposal B.
Well, Tom Ryan, the Director General, Larry McCarthy, spoke yesterday, and Tom Ryan said he didn't have a vote, but personally he said he'd be in favour of Plan B. Larry McCarthy urged people to be bold. I was surprised by this. It was progressive. I didn't see the defensiveness from GA officialdom that I've seen in other commentary. And I was refreshed by it. And that's not because I believe in Plan B, but I felt there was a, well, I would say an adequate and commensurate acknowledgement of the players and the need for change and the desire for change. The most interesting thing I took out of the whole thing was that they assured the provincial councils that they would not be out of pocket for any changes to the structure.
They did say they'd told the provincial council this before. That message doesn't seem to have landed or resonated with the provincial councils, who have definitely been telling everybody, we're going to lose money, this is a disaster, it's the worst plan that's ever been put out there, this is turkeys voting for Christmas, it can't happen. That's the message that has literally been coming from the provincial councils. But Croke Park is saying, no, we told them that there'll be no issue in funding. This isn't a money issue at all.
That's a big argument taken away. So therefore, the argument from the provincial councils is really all about the status and the power of provincial championships. And as you heard from Michael Reynolds, his argument was to bring a round robin into Leinster. And I personally don't see how that could in any way enhance the championship as a whole. So will it sway votes? I don't know. We have, as I said yesterday, 183 votes. 51% of the vote is between Central Council, overseas delegates and past presidents. And the rest is from the counties themselves. And Will has been doing a great job with the John King map and highlighting that there's a lot of support now for Proposal B. Will this make a difference? Like Albert Reynolds went for President of Ireland and Bertie Ahern voted for him in the vote, but he still lost. So we don't know how it's...
He made a point of showing it to him, didn't he?
He did.
That's it. Look, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
It wasn't my fault this didn't happen.
Yeah.
Now I've got your back here, Albert.
Yeah. I'm not saying that Larry McCarthy or Tom Ryan are doing that. But,
no.
I'm just saying that it's not going to be down to them.
Michael, you probably know this, but Will O'Callaghan was actually an Offaly delegate at... at Congress 2 years in a row. Did you know that?
I actually didn't know that until I saw it on Twitter yesterday. And yet another string to your bow, Will.
Adds a couple at least.
What's the young fella in Sky who's not John King, the other guy who does what should be the off shift but actually is the one that we get to see most of? What was his name? That's who you're our version of that.
Is it Phil Mattingly or Mattingly?
Is it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Show us our magic wall.
Well, look, here's the latest on the magic wall. We had four declarations, Ger, that happened in the last 24 hours. We've got the first two confirmed no votes. No great surprise there in Ulster. You've got both Armagh and Fermanagh are going to be voting against Proposal B this coming Saturday. They account for five votes, pointed out by many people yesterday, that when we got the full breakdown of the votes, because this is slightly different to Congress, this special Congress, you get effectively half of the delegates that you would normally have at a full Congress. So we got the full breakdown from the GAA yesterday afternoon. As John mentioned, 183. Ulster accounts for fewer votes than the overseas bodies. Whether that's right or not, you can make your own mind up on. But five votes declared now into the no column, which we had none confirmed as of yesterday. I make it that yes has now gone over the 40. Because there will be no amendments, that was confirmed by both Tom Ryan and by Larry McCarthy at the press conference yesterday. Leash is going to go green, even though technically they're down as a free vote currently. The discussion that they had on Monday was that if there were no amendments, they would be voting in favour of Proposal B. So confident to give three more votes there, alongside Sligo, Leitrim, Roscommon, who are now confirmed on that block in the corner of Connacht, which will all be voting yes. And Warwickshire have indicated on the overseas side that they'll be voting yes. The only thing is that pretty much every other overseas body is keeping their cards close to their chest. Europe have said that they're undecided as of yet. Both Australia and the Asia bodies are saying that they won't be revealing what way they're voting ahead of this Saturday. So they're the unknowns that are in the overseas. And Central Council is a fairly loose grouping of provincial council members, you've got the GPA included in that 52, you've got other bodies who've got a couple of votes in there as well. So with about 40 votes now going towards yes at this stage, 5 confirmed against no, of course you've got to get to 110 if this is going to be carried.
Oof.
There is a lot of votes that still have to be convinced between now and Saturday.
Is it going to be like a Donald Trump coming out here and saying that the election's been won and then the votes will have to come through? And then it all changes over 5 or 6 days. It'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We're going to end up in the Supreme Court, are we?
Yeah, it'd be.
If that's what it needs to be to get changed.
And there's people coming out like months later and saying, stop the steal. I'm just being facetious here, sorry.
The Central Council votes are going to be interesting because a lot of, within counties like Cork, Tipperary, you're going to have Central Council delegates within those counties. You would imagine that, you know, Cork are voting for Proposal B. So you'd imagine on top of the votes that they have already that their Central Council delegate will
should
be
vote
Proposal
in those.
B. Well, you would think so. If they're Central Council delegate for that county, that's not a certainty. And I suppose what you were saying earlier is about Bertie and Albert Reynolds. We're not going to get that. We don't. We're not going to.
Is that a danger? Is that a worry? Everybody can say, and then it's a secret ballot, and then it doesn't turn up. I wonder, are we going to see the actual? You know, are you going to see that? Like, I'm sure everybody will vote the way they're mandated to vote, but are you going to see that afterwards, I wonder?
I find that hard to believe. And you don't know. I don't think anything like that has ever been made public before.
Somebody voting against what they said?
No, like if it's technically a secret ballot, it's technically a secret ballot. Like, you don't have to make the results known public. But I do think that Central Council one is interesting, that if your county has already given the backing for Proposal B, that would heavily suggest that your Central Council delegate within that county will vote accordingly.
Right.
So in the yes front for Proposal B, there could be, you know, you could be adding the Central Council delegate vote to that as
okay,
well.
So is that a more conservative body, Central Council? That those 52 votes are can we just take it as an estimate? This is going to be a conservative body. 30 to 40 votes are going to be against this.
I would think more likely to vote no, John, but it is a fairly wide church within that 52. You'd have to think that the 2 GPA votes will go yes, so that would leave 50 up for grabs on Central Council because they're included in that figure. I'm not sure how Rounders, handball, ladies football, Camogie are going to
everybody's
use their
votes. Everybody's got an interest in this
52.
Thing. Everybody's got got a stake, don't they?
So there is an argument that there's a lot of people who don't have a stake in the All-Ireland Football Championship who are going to have a crucial vote. And in some cases, these bodies are worth as much as a county.
Well, so you would hope that yesterday the President and the Director General of the GAA coming out would influence Rounders and those non-counties in a direction. You would hope as well that the international units would be more influenced by those than any other conversations they're having with provincial council delegates or anybody who's in the no camp, right? That should be the power of what happened yesterday.
You would think so. And I mean, look, the management committee still have, I think it's 8 votes between them as well within that 52. Tom Ryan won't be technically voting on this one, even though he has a sway from, you know, I'm sure the conversations have been happening among the executive of the GAA over the last few weeks about this. And it seemed too that, you know, Jeremy Ryan, when he spoke, the financial officer from the GAA, was fairly clear that they had run the numbers on this and that there was no significant difference between the status quo and Proposal A and Proposal B, that the money would be roughly the same. So if they're very much all on point, then you would think they might be swaying towards yes within the management committee itself. You will have provincial council members who sit on central council too, so they may well count as an extra vote on top of the provincial councils too. So it's amazing how many unknowns we have now. We're going to find out a few more of the counties as well, lads, this evening, including Cavan, which is probably going to be seen as one of those swing states, potentially now sitting in Division 4 of the National Football League, but not that long ago that they were playing in the top levels of the competitions, and we'll see where their 2 votes are going to go. I think we're expecting to find out more from Mayo and Galway as well. So the bits of white that we have on our current projection map on the wall should be turning either red or green over the next 24 hours. So
I'm hearing bellwether Cavan. That's what I'm hearing. It's a bellwether state.
Well,
you have to go into the clubs and the counties and the areas of Cavan, like
Denner and Virginia.
Exactly, that delegate from Coot Hill is, you know,
he's in favour. He's been in the pub talking heavily in favour of Plan B for about 2 years now, and we all believe him. Obviously, that was a fictional character, just in case it's true. I just want to mention Turlough O'Brien has written a very interesting blog post. He's heavily against Plan B, which I don't really understand, but he does make an excellent point in the middle of it. The bigger questions are the patent unfairness in funding and structures that favour the strong, larger counties. That even extends to voting rights. It should be equal representation for counties when the issue relates to county competition. Yes, the larger counties have more clubs and they need to be given proportionate representation when the issue is a club issue. And how can overseas units have so many votes about competitions they have no part in? The voting system is at best flawed. I think everybody agrees with that, right? That there are certain issues that are general everybody GAA issues, and there are other issues that the players should have a much bigger vote in. That I don't know how you come up with a separate voting. Okay, so we do Congress and we do our community initiatives, first part of that, and then the second part is playing rules and all that kind of stuff. And like, not everybody, like, with all due respect, Will, you as a 19-year-old probably shouldn't have had as much voting power as the players at the time, but you did. You walked into and you pressed the button, whatever, and it was the same vote.
The argument is, though, that within the GA, democracy kind of works from the bottom up, or technically that's what should happen here. So the idea would be that the GPA have been working as a lobby group over the last month, but particularly intensified over the last couple of weeks, where they've been trying to sway delegates within counties, and I'm sure they've been doing some lobbying among those substantial overseas votes which are available too. So the idea would be that rather than them having the direct power of the votes that they would make, that they have to almost work the power through the various different bodies. Like, again, the GA, it loves tradition. We saw just 3 years ago where the idea of transparency on votes at Congress was voted and heavily voted against. And you're never going to see provincial councils and county boards give away that ability that they have to affect change when Congress comes around too. Like, it's like Tom Ryan spoke about this yesterday. He said it's really important that players have a voice in this and that people should be listening very close to them. But I think it's going to be a long time before the GPA gets a bigger voting percentage than they have currently.
Fair enough on the players, and I think that there should definitely be a conversation about that. But when it's specifically about competition structures for the inter-county game, does everybody have an equal voice in that?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Like, just a little bit at the end of Dunica Boyle's piece at the Bottom Independent this morning, just said international units from Asia to US have a total of 38 votes across 14 separate counties, and they could be crucial in deciding the fate of Motion 19. They hold 6 more votes than all of Ulster combined. And like, these are international units that, with due respect, do not have a playing interest in the championship that's being voted on.
No.
So that does seem a bit askew. The only thing I would say as well is this special Congress, and especially in recent years, and the fact that we now know how many votes each county has, and you can actually see, you know, where all the different votes are coming from, it's slowly getting more transparent. Because none of that information was out there until recent years.
No, even the number of votes per county. I had no idea that Ulster was less important in Congress in voting power than, and that doesn't make any sense.
Well, Derry has 2 votes and Scotland has 2 votes. Is that the Shinty vote? Asia has 2 votes. Roscommon has 2 votes. So it is. So this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this in a breakdown like this, because we're all interested in this, we're all invested in this as a really seismic thing for the GAA, and therefore we're going to go for the next vote or for the next big issue in the GAA. But what's the story here?
There's 360 in a normal Congress. That seems like quite a lot of votes to try and... Can we get into consensus here? A bit of herding cats going on.
Dublin and the USGAA have the same number of votes. The US have 5 votes, Dublin have 5 votes.
That makes sense.
Larry McCarthy and Tom Ryan did not need to do this yesterday. They could have said, you know what, it's up to the counties. They're the democracy of the association. They can decide on proposal A and proposal B. But they came out and they were progressive about saying that Plan B is something that they believe in. And that is interesting. And also that they want to get... I don't know. I think there could be adjustments made if it does get passed on Saturday. That would see, especially with Congress coming in February, that it could get it postponed to 2023, but at the moment it's full steam ahead for next year. I think that'll be a culture shock to a lot of people if it does get passed, people who've not necessarily been paying attention to this.
Yeah, completely. Look, John Horan obviously came out and said he thought that maybe if they postponed it for a year that would help, but actually maybe you just get it done. Yeah. We live with it for the first year and we go, oh, that didn't
shock
work.
And all.
There's a bit of fixing around to be done here, but let's do it.
Well, if you're looking at the major power brokers, John mentioned Tom Ryan, the Director General, obviously, the GA President, Larry McCarthy, the players, the vast majority of management. If you're talking about the major power brokers and the stakeholders, they're all for Proposal B. So you would think that anybody that's in limbo about what decision they're going to make, that vast majority of opinions going towards Proposal B should swing it in that direction. Whether that actually happens or not is another story, but it's definitely going to be interesting. I was chatting to Cathal McShane the other day and he just kept saying it's in the GAA's hands. I'd love to see this, but it's in the GAA hands. It's definitely getting closer towards Proposal B. Whether it'll be enough or not is another story.
59.47%. You're like, oh my God.
Or 61%, and there's a massive cheer, and then Tom Parsons is lifted into the air.
Now, John, if that happens, there'd be a storming of the Bastille. Will, the other big news that broke yesterday, Henry Shefflin is going to be making the 2-hour trip. You're intimately familiar with those roles. It's not a handy spin.
No, it's not. Kilkenny to Galway isn't exactly ideal compared to some other intercounty jobs that a Kilkenny former player could take up. It's an intriguing appointment, though, because, again, as Mick was saying earlier on, Henry Shefflin did very little wrong at club management. He's been kind of putting a nice little career together. You know, I take Taggy Pogarty's point that he's been clever in the jobs that he's taken so far. We'll see if this is a clever decision to go to Galway, because, you know, as we were going into the summer last year, the feeling was that Galway hurling panel had enough talent within it to have a big impression, and that potentially they could be one of the teams that will push Limerick within the championship. All right, they've lost Joe Canning. All right, there's a lot of miles on some of the players from 2017, but there's still a very talented core group of players who are there. I wonder about him playing a traditional style. That is what he has done at Ballyhale so far, and with Thomastown within the Kilkenny Championship. So I'm intrigued to see what kind of system Galway would use for next season. I think Galway are a team who will probably benefit from the return of the round robin, where they can maybe get a bit of steam before they get to the back of the championship. I expect to qualify for at least the All-Ireland quarterfinals for next season. And they look to put this really disappointing year behind them. How long can Henry wait for the Kilkenny job, or how long will this assortment of former Brian Cody players who are going out to manage, will they have to wait to potentially get the Kilkenny job, I think is the interesting one. I just wonder, I don't know what Mick feels about this, how long Brian Cody is likely to still be the Kilkenny manager.
There's a question.
Well, the clock has been ticking, but suddenly the ticking is very loud. It's like you're sitting in a room and suddenly you become aware there's a noise. What's the noise? Oh, the clock is ticking.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say on that is if you go back to recent years, they won a league in 2018. They're the last team to beat Limerick. They were in All-Ireland final in 19. They won back-to-back Leinsters. For the resources, I keep saying this, for the resources he has available to him, he's not doing a bad job. He's definitely not doing a bad job. The same resources that were there, you know, in the late noughties, and, you know, 11, 12, 14 and 15 are not there. They're just that they're not there, and you have to think whoever the next manager is coming in over the next couple of years, if that does happen, TJ Reid is probably going to be going into retirement. Richie Hogan is leaning towards that as well. So there's two of your finest.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying if you're Chef and you're thinking let one of the other lads take in and bring through a bunch of kids and they'll have 3 or 4 years and then I can go and I've got my experience. Does that not make sense?
Maybe, but if you want to manage your county, I don't know if you think like that. But as Taggy said, he has been not selective in the jobs that he's taken on, but there's been massive potential in the jobs that he's taken on. Galway definitely ticks that box as well.
What if he's unbelievably successful? Like, they might never get him back.
No, potentially not. No, potentially. Yeah,
well, at some point he will do it, but like
John O'Mahony did his time in Galway as football manager, and then he eventually came home. I could see Henry Shefflin doing something.
Well, that didn't work out so well for Mayo, though.
Yeah. But I suppose the pull was still there. I feel that there's a few things here. I think Joe Canning is definitely it's a very interesting part of this. Will he persuade Joe Canning to come out of retirement? I know Joe said he was, in speaking to yourselves, Michael, that he was pretty adamant that he wouldn't come back. Henry Shefflin probably is better material at Galway now than he would have if he went into Kilkenny.
That's the point we were making earlier on. It feels that way.
Also, is there a touch of, well, you know, I'm not going to wait around forever, folks, so I'm going to go now to another county. And he's proven his chops at club level. It's not easy to win back-to-back Club All-Ireland titles in hurling or in football. And this is the best player I've ever seen on the pitch. So it's funny, I always felt that Henry Shefflin's Roy Keane and Turin moment was against Galway in 2012. And it's interesting now that he's going to be managing Galway in the championship next year and having shoulders on the sideline with Brian Cody.
Yeah, I mean, like that... that embrace will be the most spoken about and highly anticipated photograph of the entire sports year next year, guaranteed. Just to reiterate, Michael Fenley, we were in touch with him and we asked him if he would come on. He gave us a quote. His exact quote was, "It's a big win for Galway and Henry's never been afraid of new challenges. The extent of the travel commitments shows his intent on bringing Galway to a new level." So he's not going to cut his teeth or get some managerial chops. He's going there to be successful, and it just injects a level of excitement into the whole championship. So, right, last thing that I wanted to ask you all about is this. If we could stick it up on the screen there, this is is it the second jersey? Is it an away jersey? Is it her jersey?
Yeah.
It's the new Dublin jersey. It's their alternative jersey. It's now available, and it is the Argentina jersey.
It's gorgeous.
I've always loved the Argentina jersey.
Yeah,
you probably lived in Dublin long enough now to be able to get the passport to be a Dub.
But my kids are getting it. My kids are getting that jersey.
It's very nice.
The only thing
it?
Is,
go on.
It's very nice. But what's the point in having a sky blue and white change strip when the only reason you're likely to change is when you're playing against teams who are playing in a light color or sky blue?
I mean, that's a good logical point there, Will. But
surely commercial jersey should be dark.
What's the point, do you think? What do you think? What's the answer to that?
Oh, it'll sell like hotcakes, particularly if Argentina go well in the World Cup next year. I always thought Dublin should wear dark blue as their away jersey. I thought that was tradition, but yeah, it's as bloody nice.
Yeah, it's sickening, isn't it?
It's also a good thought process fodder for other counties and to be creative with their designs now. Because the best jersey I always thought in Gaelic games is Carlow, because it's a beautiful jersey, beautiful colours and everything like that. But who wants to go chocolate brown now in their away jersey?
Mayo, wait, God, smart. Mayo have a lovely away jersey. It's that black and red kind of mix. It's gorgeous, and it's a big seller. If you go to any of the Mayo matches or you go around the county, you'll always see them wearing it because it's an alternative and a nice strip, and I'd say the same here. That'll sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, there's a huge opportunity for a lot of counties to. But I don't know what the deal is. It might be almost of no benefit to you to be selling loads of extra jerseys because the deal might be that O'Neill's make all the money off them.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, you'd want to get in to see the nuts and bolts of that deal to see exactly what the crack is. Maybe from a marketing perspective, AIG are delighted, and maybe that's what pays Dublin for this. But
Will, do you remember when Offaly released the lovely white jersey in 2000?
I do, which I think, did they end up ever wearing it? I know, like, it wasn't officially adopted as far as I remember.
No, I don't think they ever wore it, but the whole of Borough was walking around in it, I can tell you that.
Was it a Kildare jersey? Is that what it was?
No, it was the Offaly jersey, lads, is the nicest of the nice now. I don't. Carlo is nice now. The Offaly jersey.
I'm not a big fan of the Carlo jersey.
Did they not play in white in 1982 against Carlo?
They did, yeah. It was similar to that jersey, that replica jersey that was made in 2000. It was lovely.
Also, in 1991, sorry, Will.
I was going to say it had a crest on the two arms, and I think the design with the crest wasn't officially approved in the end, but pretty much everyone was wearing it that summer when Offaly got to the All-Ireland hurling final, and a lot of people went to the final in white. But yeah, we've had a few white kits since, and the current away is white and very reminiscent of the 1982 kit. But as far as I remember, that white kit came out, sold really well, and eventually they weren't able to wear the actual jersey.
Why not? Who prevented them?
It was something to do with the design, Ger. Again, I'll probably have to talk to someone who was in the county board at the time to find the official reason for it. But I think it had something to do with the design on the sleeves, which they used at the time. And it never got approval, but it went for sale earlier in the year. And everyone had already bought it ahead of the summer. And in the end, it ended up becoming a fashion item as opposed to something worn by the players. I think they may well have worn it in the challenge game, but I don't think they ever wore it in an official game at any point.
Right. It's definitely an underrepresented part of GAA culture. It's starting to come to the point where everybody's like getting Paul Galvin to design the Kerry jersey was a leap forward, and everybody started to get a bit competitive around it, and that's exactly what you should do, right?
I think down in 1994 against Cork in the semi-final wore the Ulster jersey, the Ulster Council jersey, something like that. There was something unusual about it.
Yellow one.
Yeah. I think there was definitely something they didn't wear, almost like an away jersey.
The Meath Kerry All-Ireland semi-final, was it 86?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
When they're in Kerry and
Blue, yeah. Very blue.
What colour were me then? Green?
I think they were in green, yeah. Green and blue, yeah.
I mean, they were cool jerseys.
They were cool jerseys,
There's
yeah.
room here. The one last thing I'd like to just talk about is that there was a brilliant bit of analysis done on Twitter by @BMACAnalyst, who has mapped out the number of championship games that every county has had over the last 10 years. And it turns out there's, as you would expect, a line that goes from the successful counties down to the unsuccessful counties, and he's also mapped what the championship would look like over the next 10 years, and the line evens out. So everybody would get the same number of games, roughly, give or take 10-15%, depending on how successful you are. Obviously, you get an extra 3 games if you reach an All-Ireland final, 2 for a semis, 1 for a quarter. That seems like a good idea. Give everybody the same number of games, and then the funding issues become more apparent. Then you can actually inject money into strength and conditioning. The Leinster Council could become really important in financing these counties to make sure that the competition equalises.
Yeah, we're probably putting it the wrong way around. It should be the funding issues should probably be sorted before we fix structures, but fixing one or the other will definitely help.
I think that I would agree with you. It's just it's hard to identify where the funding issues are exactly if you're not in the same competition or if you don't have the same number of games. Anyway,
I think it's important if this gets through on Saturday, and it'd be fantastic if it does, to tweak it. I do think it's important for teams in Division 3 and 4 to win trophies. I would like to see, the Sam Maguire Cup, and then I'd like to see league finals, as it were, almost for Division 3 and 4. So there's a Croke Park, big fixture at Croke Park, in front of a capacity crowd, as maybe as a double header, to give the Emlyn Mulligans is always the example, I would say, a chance to win a trophy.
I think that...
Is it going to realistically win the Tarleton Cup? I'm not so sure.
Well, maybe, but I think that the fact that there's 7 games in all the divisions, you could have a round of games which are at a neutral venue, and we could work this out. In year 2 we can all sit back and go, oh, actually you can have a game in Croke Park every week if you want. You can have double headers or triple headers in Croke Park every week for the 8 or 9 weeks of this. And is there a way that we can fix it? There is, isn't there?
Yeah. I do like the idea of the league final, I have to say. If you're looking at it, then you have 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 in Division 1, the top team in Division 2 and the second team potentially playing the final, same in Division 3, same in Division 4, and then the bottom 16 are going into the Tarleton Cup, and there's so many meaningful competitions and chances to win trophies for teams.
Yeah. Okay.
See, I kind of view it from a different perspective on this one, lads, where people say that this isn't an All-Ireland Championship and it's the league being played and we need to think about the league positions and, not everyone gets to compete for the Sam Maguire. The truth of it is that everyone who goes into this, what is a round robin as opposed to it being the league when it becomes Championship, everyone at the very start, whether you're the bottom team in Division 4 or the top team in Division 1, is playing for the Sam Maguire and the All-Ireland Championship in theory. This is really just a qualifying mechanism for the knockout stages of the Championship, and the provincials still exist. I think there's been a little bit of a misnomer on this that, we're just playing the league in the middle of the summer and some teams are going to come out of the league and compete for the Sam Maguire, some teams won't qualify and they'll play in the Tarleton Cup. The reality is that everyone starts the season with a chance to win the main trophy.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I think that's key. And I think, because I actually never thought that this is actually the right... I think it's senior, intermediate and junior, and that's the way it should work because it works for all the other... But anyway, but as I said, Michael Quinlan was like, I need to be able to dream of winning the big thing. And fair enough. So you've got to listen to the players, and literally every team in Division 4, exactly as you've just said, at the start of the year, if they go on a Leicester-style run, 1,000-1, maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. Very unlikely to happen. But they can dream. Anyway, we've done our bit. We'll see what happens. We're getting there now. The Magic Wall will be back tomorrow with hopefully a couple more filled in as well. OTBAM is brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. My thanks to John King and John Duggan.